Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Paul Barkish.
I like this kind of party.
The Score senior football expert.
Once you put all the evidence that we have together, that's the bottom line.
Pro Football Weekly, Shaw Media, and Westwood One.
It goes deep. Hub does too.
Analyzing the Bears and the NFL.
This was an ongoing conversation at Hallis Hall for literally a couple months.
Paul Barkish with Bernstein and McKnight on The Score.
You know him, you love him. He's Hub Arkish of Pro Football Weekly. He is the host of the Ameristar pregame show, Patrick Manley and Olin Krutz. And this week, it is a special edition of the Ameristar pregame show. It's going to be out. They're going to be out and about at Connie's Pizza in Chicago for the Bears pre- and postgame show. You can enjoy 50-cent wings, specially priced craft beers, and Hub Arkish's company. Manley, of course, and Krutz will be there too, noon until kickoff, followed by Hub and James Big Cat Williams for 2 hours after the game. It'll be an enjoyable day, Hub. Lovely to have you as always, I suppose. The biggest news we're waiting on is to see whether or not Mitch Trubisky will actually speak with the media, because if he does, that may then mean something for his status against the Saints.
Well, you would think so. It is on the schedule, so we're assuming that Mitch is going to talk today. I don't think there's any guarantee if he does talk today that he plays. He was limited in practice Monday. We don't really know what that means, other than he was on the football field and he made some throws. Dave Ragone yesterday talked about coaching him up Monday the same way he would a completely healthy Trubisky because he was on the practice field. But my guess is that this is a decision that may not get finalized until Friday. And I don't think, knowing that Mitch even practiced on Monday, that they could really bring Chase Daniel out today, even if it seems likely that he's going to play. So it's certainly trending that way. You know, I agree with you guys with listening on the way in. I expect he's going to, but won't be at all surprised if he's not ready yet either. It's going to take all week for it to develop, I think.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you, Hub. I mean, I think all indications are that he's going to give it a go on Sunday. And one thing that Ragone said, the Bears quarterback's coach, yesterday was, you know, his evaluation process is going to depend a lot on how he looks coming out of this injury. What do you expect out of Mitchell Trubisky the rest of this season coming out of the injury? Is this just now a survive with Mitch, or do you think that they will continue to try to push him forward and develop him more forward?
Well, you know, Mark, part of the big question, one of the problems with the Chicago Bears and Matt Nagy right now is that, you know, Matt is great to talk to, and he's fairly forthcoming when it comes to talking football and talking about players and plays and situations. But with this injury stuff, they refuse to give us actual diagnoses. And it's not that I'm a doctor and I would necessarily know everything that means, but at least it would allow me to look into it and know how these injuries, you know, how players normally react to them, what realistic rehab time is. The reports that we've heard, and I don't know if they're accurate or not, is that it was a dislocation and a partially torn labrum. That's pretty serious stuff, even if it's not your throwing shoulder. So, you know, if he's going to be playing hurt, are they going to try and keep him in the pocket and not expose him to hits down the field? And even though it's not his throwing shoulder, the entire body is involved in throwing a football. So, you know, my guess is that if he does play Sunday, he can't be more than 80-90%. I agree that 80-90% of him is better than Chase Daniel. But, you know, to try and project I can't even project Sunday if he plays, let alone, you know, what to expect the rest of the season.
Top of the hour in our conversation with Hub Arkish, brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. The Wolves are fighting to become the first team in the American Hockey League history to win four straight division titles. And they host the Rockford Ice Hogs Saturday night at the Allstate Arena. For tickets, visit ChicagoWolves.com. Hub, obviously a lot of change on the defensive and offensive line for the Bears. Let's start on the offensive side, because it has been a rough thing to watch at times. Who should fill in for Kyle Long, and how will the Bears implement a new right guard?
You know, Ted Larson has been a very valuable piece, but even though he returned to practice, we know he's got a sore knee. And he is extremely valuable because he can step in at either guard or center, and he clearly is not, your answer for the future. You look at Rashad Coward, who I really thought until a few weeks ago was being groomed specifically for that right tackle spot. There is some, again, interesting dialogue going on now about how many reps he had gotten at guard prior to the last few weeks. Certainly didn't see it in training camp, and we don't get to see it here. But he appears to be the favorite and probably the most logical choice. I think Alex Bars has a chance to be a very good player in this league. At some point, we'll know more about how this all came down with Kyle, but I think what we all assume is that his time with the Bears may be done. And so you're not talking about what's just best this week or next week. You're talking about the future at that position. It's one of those two guys. So I don't really see the upside in plugging Larson in. Coward is obviously ahead of Bars, if for no other reason than he's been in the NFL for a year and a half. So I think it'll probably be Coward on Sunday and for the next few weeks. But if he does not show within the next couple weeks that he is a clear upgrade over Kyle Long, my guess is that the long-term future could be Alex Bars.
Talk with Hub Arkish on the Bernstein and McKnight Show. Kyle Long has said that he's a Bear for life. Could you see him taking a prove-it deal after he maybe takes this time to get as healthy as he could? Is that just kind of the best wishes of an NFL player who'd had a banged-up last three seasons, and maybe he'll try it somewhere else?
You know, Connor, there's two possibilities here. A, that this is a serious injury that merits him being on IR. Again, if it is, I wish we knew when it happened. Did it happen at practice one day, as some rumors are suggesting? You know, is it something he's been playing through all along? He certainly was very vocal about being as healthy as he's ever been this summer and in training camp. I'm not doubting the Bears. We haven't really talked to Kyle, so I wouldn't be doubting him. Is this really about the injury, or is it about the fact that he just wasn't playing well, mm-hmm. and this was the best way for a soft landing? I just don't know, but it's my job to report that both options are possible. So that said, if this is another legitimate injury and he wants to work his behind off, they're not going to pick up the option at the money that it would cost him next year. But yeah, I would think that they would give him a chance and he would try it, because they're also not going to insult him and offer him less than somebody else. But I don't know if this is, if it is the wear and tear of the last 3 years, the damage done by all the surgeries. I think it's probably more likely that this could be a career. And I hope not, because I love watching Kyle Long play. I love Kyle Long. He's really a great young man. But for me, and maybe it's just me, but there's a lot more mystery around this than most of us are really focused on right now.
Yeah, that's another guy. I'll be curious to see if he, Kyle Long, is in that locker room today when you guys get the open locker room window today. But Hub, I wanted to know from your perspective, from your eyes, that beyond Kyle Long, what have you seen go wrong with the offensive line and the tape that you reviewed? And did you harvest anything interesting yesterday in our group discussion with the Bears offensive line coach, Harry Hiestand?
Well, yeah, I love talking to Harry. And you know, there certainly was a lot of interesting stuff. To me, it's interesting. Charles Leno's been a bigger problem than Kyle Long. Long hasn't played well. Charles Leno has maybe played marginally better, but the penalties have absolutely killed them. And one of the things that we do talk about, not often, but once in a while, there is no unit on an NFL team that requires more teamwork, better timing, better communication than the offensive line. When you see the problems that the Bears are having in the running game and with their line blocking, that's systemic. That's not one player, even though when you start to break them down individually on tape, they're all going to grade out a little differently. I think that it doesn't take an all-pro to play better than Kyle has played the first basically 4 weeks. He sat out the one game. So improved play from that position will help. But the penalties have got to stop. And by the way, it's not just Leno. He's far and away the leader. But everybody, it seems, has gotten a holding or a hands to the face. And these are just drive killers, you know. And when we talk about Matt Nagy's play calling and what the offense is doing and the points they're putting on the board, when you are getting these major penalties, these 10-yard calls, and constantly playing from behind the chains, it's just impossible. And so, you know, my guess is when Matt Nagy talked a week ago Monday about a lot of guys, you know, taking long looks in the mirror, I would think that would have been at the top of his mind. And if these guys come out better focused, you know, more focused on their technique, if they can avoid big calls on Sunday and in the weeks going forward, we're not going to be as worried about, you know, how Coward or Bars or Larson plays in place of Kyle Long. I do watch a lot of tape, and if I had to rank them, I would say, you know, none of them have been great. Bobby Massey has probably been the most consistent. Then Cody Whitehair and James Daniels pretty close. James Daniels is literally a kid trying to learn a new position on the fly in the NFL. And then I wouldn't really separate Long and Leno. They've both been an issue, you know. And so you have to hope that one gets fixed with his replacement and the other one, you know, it benefits from this time off and is ready to. You're going to miss blocks. It's like everything else. Mm-hmm. You know, cornerbacks are going to give up receptions and touchdowns. Linemen are going to miss blocks. All that stuff's going to happen. You can't miss assignments and you can't have penalties. And that's what they can fix during the off week. And we'll see how much they got done when they take the field against the Saints.
Taylor Gabriel says he's feeling a lot better since suffering the concussion against Washington. Do you feel Matt Nagy has changed the game plan each and every week to face the defense he's facing, which I think is a good thing. How much do you feel Taylor Gabriel will be an impact factor in that whatever game plan he's got against the Saints?
Well, there's nothing good about concussions, but the potential positive about the injury is that once it's cleared up, it shouldn't have an impact on how you play. Mm-hmm. And the guy's coming off the best game of his career. And while he was gone, Anthony Miller made a couple plays, you know, and you saw a little bit of Javon Wims. And so if Mitch Trubisky is at quarterback and if he is free to run 100% of the offense, the Saints defense is one of the best in the league right now. It's not that far behind the Bears. And what's interesting is that they're playing really well up front. Cameron Jordan has been one of the best defensive ends in football for years now. This kid Davenport is coming on fast. Sheldon Rankins is looking like the player that everybody thought he was going to be when they drafted him. And that's kind of a miracle recovery from that Achilles. Not a miracle, but just the fact that he's gotten back so quickly. You know, if they can run the ball better, it will open up the passing game for all those receivers. And I would guess pretty much everybody the Bears have faced has taken their top corner and had him shadow Allen Robinson, which is that much more impressive about how well Robinson has played. The problem with Marshawn Lattimore is that he's not playing quite as well this year as he has in recent seasons, and he's at a real size disadvantage with Robinson. So I'm guessing that the Saints are going to play this straight and that that's going to create opportunities for something big early to Robinson. If that happens, that should open everybody else up the rest of the way.
Hub, based on everything you just said, and I'm just going through this in my head right now, this is what I do. I'm picking you to pick the Saints to win this game against the Bears. Am I right? Am I right?
Well, only because to get in print tomorrow, we do a special section that had to be in yesterday. So.
Oh, so you did. Did you pick the Saints? Am I right?
I'm kind of torn on this. I heard what you were saying coming in, and I agree with you about good spot for the Bears.
It is.
Good spot for the Saints. The problem is that right now the Saints, to me, are clearly the best team in the NFC. And as I just said, you know, not only are they playing really well on the defensive front, but their offensive line is one of the best in football. And while I think the Bears overall are going to be okay without Akeem Hicks this first week out to go against this group, it's going to be tough. And so I think the Bears are going to play really well. I think it's going to be a very close, low-scoring game. But I can't, based on what I've seen the first 5 weeks, I can't pick the Bears right now to beat the best team in the conference.
Bilal Nichols is going to fill in for Akeem Hicks. He's got some sort of cast on his hand. Have you seen it? Do you understand what he will be playing with? I know a lot of people are interested to know if that's the same thing as Leonard Floyd was playing with last season, if it's something different, and how much that's going to restrict him.
Well, actually, Connor, what we've seen isn't necessarily what he'll wear on game day. There are some rules and restrictions when they club these guys up. I'm not saying it's not. I just don't know.
Yeah.
But there is no question it will restrict him because of the importance of hand use on the defensive line. The answer is going to come from how good can he be with that other hand, and can he use his forearm? One of the first things you learn in midget ball or youth ball, whatever they call it these days, through high school is a forearm shiver. And at this level, because everybody's so big and so strong, it is not as crucial, but it's still very much a part of the game. So if he can use that forearm shiver with the bad hand, if he can have some punch with that bad hand, and then really can you know, if I to be honest with you, as we sit here, I can't remember which hand it is, and I don't know if he's left-handed or right-handed. But if it's not his dominant hand, that makes it a little bit easier. At the end of the day, he needs to occupy blockers, and the big plays are going to have to come from Roy Robertson Harris and Eddie Goldman.
More conversation with Hub to come. When we come back, I think there's some more Bears to talk about here as they get the Saints on Sunday in a very, very big football game. With the Jalen Ramsey trade has been completed, and there's plenty of NFL storylines to get to, what with the benching of Marcus Mariota as well. We'll get to them all with Hub Arkish of Pro Football Weekly next, 670 The Score. Hub Arkish is our guest here on the Bernstein and McKnight Show. Mark Grody, our Bears beat reporter, is in for Dan. I'm Connor. It's a Bearsy Wednesday as we await the potential of Mitch Trubisky talking to reporters for the first time in a real long time. Hub, want to shoot it around the NFL a little bit here with you as we've got you. Jalen Ramsey gets moved to the Rams. As it stands now, in compensation, the Rams will no longer have, they will go five straight years without a first round pick in making this move. That's how it stands now. They always move up to the first round or something like that. But this is quite a franchise altering move for them. And it just increases the amount of dollars that they've got spent up against the cap for the next two seasons. It's really quite something.
The cap is always a moving target. So I'm guessing they may be able to figure that part of it out. But you know, just the deal and the assets that they've given up, and to do this without a contract, that's the other really interesting part of it, is that whatever it does to the cap for the next 2 years, if they don't re-sign him after next season and they gave up two first-round picks and a four, that's pretty extensive. Now, we have to believe that having made the deal that they have a plan to sign him and that they can work that out. Jalen Ramsey is, I think, pretty clearly, at least today, the best cover corner in the NFL. He was until this season. Obviously, he's missed three games. I would be really concerned about a guy who missed the last three games, allegedly with a back problem, but now suddenly is going to be fine to go for you after he got what he wanted on Sunday.
Oh, yeah.
You know, there's all kinds of questions about character and attitude. I'm not saying he's a bad young man. I don't really know. But the way he's carried himself over the last 12 to 18 months has not been what you would want. That said, you guys were talking the last hour about windows and how long they stay open. Yeah. Clearly the Rams are concerned right now because they won the NFC last year but lost the Super Bowl. They come back this year. They're having the usual post-Super Bowl loser hangover. And what's interesting to me is that they made all these moves yesterday on defense, and the offense is just as concerning. I mean, Jared Goff appears to be racing backwards, you know, and you talk about, you know, where Mariota and Winston and some of these guys are. So it feels to me like a little bit of panic-type moves. I just don't know, after all they gave up for Goff, how they can do this again for Ramsey.
Hey, while we're on Goff there, and you're right, it's like he's racing backwards, and similar to what was seen from Mitchell Trubisky this year, it's a bit jarring. Do you think this is what he is now, or do you think he gets it back onto that level where he was trending towards, not there, but trending towards elite last year?
Yeah, first of all, Mark, I can't go along with you on that. I don't think Trubisky is racing backwards. I don't know that he's gone backwards. He just hasn't gone forward.
No, I'm just saying it's jarring, just kind of what we've seen. I'm not saying Trubisky is racing backwards.
Well, yeah, and it's interesting because I'm not so jarred by what's going on with the Bears because the offense wasn't anything to get excited about last year, but this Rams offense is what everybody was raising happy,
right,
you know, a year or two ago. And so Guys, at the end of the day, I'm getting a lot of the negative stuff from some of my followers or whatever. You know, why are you defending Ryan Pace? And you know, he should be fired if Trubisky can't play and everything like that. Obviously, that's stupid. I mean, you know, Pace has done a good job. He's missed some. And unfortunately, you know, there's now some concern that he may have missed the most high-profile one of all, which is Trubisky. I will always be disturbed that he traded up one spot and gave up the extra picks. But I will never say that drafting a quarterback at number two overall and not hitting is a make it or break it deal for a GM, because the reality is 90% of these guys drafted in the first round fail. And when you look around the league at who the best are, everybody knows the Tom Brady story. Everybody knows the Russell Wilson story. Everybody knows the Drew Brees story. It is not an organizational fail. It's not an epic fail by a GM if you miss on one of these picks. I think it was you made an outstanding point. It took Drew Brees 4 years or 5 years to become Drew Brees, and he had to land in the right system with the right coach. So you got to be a little patient. I don't know what to make of Mitch, you know, personally, because we don't get that much personal time with him. He clearly is under wraps when he talks to us from the podium like he's going to today. I've maintained since the end of last season, but especially this year, I think the biggest problem is that they got to take the handcuffs off him. Let Mitch be Mitch. Let him go out there. Let's see what he can do. Let him throw the ball around the field, and then you can judge it. That's what Bruce Arians is doing with Jameis Winston right now. It is... With Goff, I was never all that impressed by his arm. I was very impressed by the way he absorbed McVay's system. And I'm not saying they won't get it fixed, by the way. I mean, by the time the Bears see him in 4 weeks, they could be dangerous again. But right now, it is symptomatic of what usually happens with these quarterbacks taken in the top 10.
I don't want to misquote you, Hub. Did you just say Trubisky is speaking today?
He was on the schedule. I don't know that yet.
It's, yeah, gotcha.
I'm sorry. We'll find out.
Yeah, find out a little bit. That's all I heard. I was like, oh, okay.
You saw it was in the media schedule,
No,
right?
Absolutely. 100%. I just thought maybe you had some clarification out there. Okay, gotcha.
Bottom of the hour brought to you by Northwestern Basketball. Join Northwestern Basketball at the new Welsh Ryan Arena this season. Home opponents include Michigan State, Michigan, and Illinois. Season tickets to see Chicago's Big Ten team are on sale now at nusports.com. And you want to keep listening because your chance to win another $1,000 is coming up here in just a little bit. Hub, you can call me stupid if you want, because I understand it. I do think that Ryan Pace ought to be tied to his choosing Trubisky as his franchise quarterback. I guess, though, and you brought up a point that I hadn't really considered, maybe I should be willing to move off of that if he's willing to move off of Mitch. Like, if there is some understanding that after 3 years, they don't want to be the Tampa Bay Buccaneers chained to Jameis Winston the way they have. They don't want to be the Titans hooked up with Marcus Mariota as long as they have, nor do they want to be the Rams committing themselves to 110 guaranteed like Jared Goff. I get that one decision doesn't necessarily make a GM, but one position can make an NFL roster.
Well, Connor, number one, I would never call you stupid.
I'll take it.
I'm not saying you're wrong. It's just it's my strong opinion, and we disagree. But I think the key in what you just said is that I agree that after 3 years you have to make an evaluation. The problem is that you haven't even started the third year with Mitch yet. I mean, he started 12 games as a rookie, you know, four games this year, and then
yes,
he started last season. That's 2 years. And so I have been saying all along, prior to the injury, I felt strongly that about, you know, week 9, week 10 was when they were going to have to start to take a stand on this. Now I'm thinking it's closer to the end of the year. So, you know, we're not necessarily disagreeing on this as far as where they're at with Mitch. They're just not there yet, you know, and it's been frustrating because of the, if it was not for, listen, I sat there on draft night and said adamantly for 2 hours in the show before we got to the pick that it had to be Deshaun Watson. There's nothing that's happened since then that surprised me. Nobody saw Patrick Mahomes coming, and it is the play of those two guys right now that is creating so much extra pressure on Mitch and the Bears. The reality is that with where he's at in his career, it's just not time yet to give up on him. But that's coming. You know, it's coming at the end of this season. You know, maybe you go a few weeks in the next season. You know, hell, the Bucks and the Titans are in year five with Mariota and Winston. So I don't know that you're wrong. I just don't think we're there yet.
And what do you make of Mariota? Well, we're on that right now. Ryan Tannehill scheduled to start for the against the Chargers for the Titans this week.
Well, you want to have an interesting conversation, and I'm not predicting this at all. But remember all the reports that Ryan Pace was in love with Mariota and was considering making a big move up to get him. Trade deadline's 2 weeks away. Obviously, he's available.
Huh.
You know, I mean, so and he ain't going to cost you two number ones.
That's true.
He's not even going to cost you a one.
You just started something. That's good.
It's obvious to me.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to happen. I'm not predicting it. I'm not saying it should
happen.
That's
good.
But this is our job, you know.
Yeah.
And so, you know, Connor, you want them to make a move? That would be interesting. I mean, I wrote the other day that they should sign Colin Kaepernick, and I nearly got ridden out of town on a rail.
Oh, you know? Sure. So, that's going to happen, though.
Only by one side of the aisle. You know? That's what makes this all so much fun. But I just would love to feel that when the time comes, either that Mitch arrives as a very good quarterback or if he doesn't make it, that we can look at it and say we really got to see him. We got to see who he is, you know, personally, and we got to see him on the field, and we just haven't seen that yet.
He's Hub Arkish, the host of the Ameristar pregame show here at 670 The Score. It's noon to 3:25, noon right up until kickoff here on 670 The Score. But the guys are going to be out at Connie's Pizza in Chicago for the pre- and the postgame show. So Connie's has 50-cent wings, specially priced craft beers, and you can listen to Hub and Pat Manley and Olin Krutz from noon until kickoff. Then Hub and James Big Cat Williams for 2 hours after the game. It's all out there at Connie's here in Chicago. Hub, you've mentioned a couple of times, and I love this idea, let Mitch be Mitch and see whatever that is, and however that happens, it's an easier way to evaluate there. The injury makes that difficult, I think, more than likely. But is there a game plan or specific game where it was as close as you could tell to letting Mitch be Mitch? What's the comp for what that might look like?
Second half of the Eagles game.
Okay.
It was do or die. It was the playoffs. They had no choice. And the kid went out and did enough to win the game for you. And that's what I keep going back to. That was the last thing we saw until this season. Then we spent an entire off season hearing about why things were going to be better for other reasons, for strategically selected free agents. I was never at any time convinced that they had improved their level of talent at running back based on what they did. They did get different style backs that allegedly would fit, you know, Matt's offense better. But then you look at the Eagles, who are running the same offense, and they took the guy that you wanted to get rid of and added a Montgomery-type clone in Miles Sanders, and it's working very well for them. So I think that until they get some semblance of a running game going, you're not going to see everything you want to see from the Bears quarterback, regardless of whether it's Trubisky, Daniel, or Bray. But once they get that going, and I think they will, because I do think there's enough talent on the offensive line, and I do like David Montgomery, by the way. I think we've seen just enough flashes to know that if they give him a little room, give him a crease here and there, it's going to be fun. But until that happens, expecting the quarterback to do much more than they're doing right now is tough. Once you get that running game going, particularly between the tackles, that opens up the whole field for receivers other than Allen Robinson. It creates a lot more options at quarterback, and it's not as hard. I don't know if Mitch is still not reading defenses properly and not seeing the things you want to see or not, because at the end of the day, guys, that's all that separates the great ones from everybody else. It's just that intuitive, innate feel for the game. Not only does Patrick Mahomes have an otherworldly arm, the only arm I've seen like that in the 40-some years I've been doing this is Brett Favre, but he also clearly sees things. You know, it's not just his ability to make those throws that he makes from every different position, it's that he sees where to make them. He's also been a little lucky, and you're seeing some of the luck is drying up the last couple of weeks. But, we still have not seen Mitch Trubisky in the situation that we need to see him in to know if he can do this job or not.
Hub, you got me all wondering now about this Mariota thing. Your excellent dot connecting.
Mark, I haven't heard any rumors.
I know.
I'm not suggesting. But to me, as soon as I saw Tannehill go in the game Sunday, it was the first thing that occurred to me. Would they do this? I got blown up for suggesting Kaepernick. So forget Kaepernick. Go get Mariota. my point is that there are players out there who are clearly better than Chase Daniel and Tyler Bray. And this is where I'm kind of on Connor's side, I think, on this, is that I don't want to see anything as dramatic as pulling the plug on Mitch, but I would like to see them do more to address clearly the most important position on the field.
What would he cost? Like, what do you think Marcus Mariota would cost? Like, if you did a trade for him right now?
At this point, I think you could probably get him for a couple threes.
Okay.
Something like that. I don't know.
I know. This is all very hypothetical. I get it. I understand where you're coming from.
The Titans have not written him off. They haven't said, we're done with him. They're giving Tannehill a start this week. They may be doing one of these things, let him watch from the sidelines for a couple of weeks and see what he sees. You also, there's another interesting comp there, is that he is on, can't remember if it's his third or fourth offensive coordinator in 5 years. I think it's his third. Arthur Smith is a guy who came up through their organization. I don't know, how good or bad he is. I know that Matt LaFleur didn't set the world on fire with him last year. And so they may just be taking a step back with him. But when you do this to this guy at this stage of his career, it usually is more than that, even if that was all you were intending.
Hub, appreciate you as always. We will talk to you again Friday. Well, your people will talk to you on Friday. Looking forward to it as always.
All right, guys. Have a good day.
That is Hub Arkish. He is the Ameristar pre- and post-game host. Your chance to win $1,000 coming up in a little bit. Lawrence Holmes is back from vacation. We will have transition with the man, the myth, the legend. Mark Grody's in for Dan. It's the Bernstein McKnight Show. Here at 670, the score.
I tell everybody, quarterbacks, best thing in the offense. You got to have one. Defense, you got to have corners. You want to win? You got to have corners. You don't have corners? You got to get your wife a job at the Walmart because you're going to be out of work. Today decides you win or you lose.
What's going on with that voice right there? What's
Jerry Glanville? He is your defensive coordinator for this show's favorite XFL team, the Tampa Bay Vipers. Their head coach is Mark Trestman. Their defensive coordinator is Jerry Glanville, and I hope they got themselves some corners and quarterbacks in yesterday's draft. I think they're still drafting today, but best of luck to old Jerry Glanville.
Do you know what phrase I think he started? At least this is the guy from whom I heard it first.
In our place, we really trying to grow the man.
No, not that one. Not that one. That is all Mark Trestman. But I think Jerry Glanville was the first person to say, it's the NFL, stands for not for long.
Not for long.
If you're not any good, NFL, not for long. Now he talks like this for some reason.
No, yeah, well, he's that guy. I met him once when he was coaching at Portland State. He was a fascinating interview. Just wanted to say the things that Jerry Glanville wanted to say, which I was happy to do. I asked questions, and he just said whatever he wanted to do. You've had those interviews before, right?
The guy that's the best.
Keeps on talking. Your chance to win $1,000. Now is the time. The hour's keyword is shadow. Text shadow to 72881 by the end of the hour. Again, the keyword is shadow, 72881. One randomly selected nationwide entrant from this hour will win. Please do not text and drive. Message and data rates may apply. Our thank yous to Mike Florio and Hub Arkish. Producers were Zawoski, Camp, Diaz, and Gerch. Kevbo had the updates. Tomorrow, Matt Miller. Tomorrow, Anthony Heron. Tomorrow, Dan Bernstein returns from his exploratory procedure. Everything's fine. No, he's going to be back. Mark, thank you so much for stepping in, my man.
Yeah, real quickly.
Please tell us.
For our well-placed source at Hallis Hall. Sweet, Chris Baba. The plan is for Mitch Trubisky to talk around noon today, unless, there's a caveat, unless Nagy comes up before and says that he is not practicing. So it is very possible that we will have the quarterback, Mitchell Trubisky, at least speaking today and eventually bring that back to you live. I don't know how that's all going to work, but that's good news for Mitch and the Bears.
Oh, that means one thing. That means you ought to keep it right here on the score for two reasons. Now.
Uh-huh.
One, could hear from Mitch. Two, Lawrence Holmes is back from transition. For transition.
Bears.
From vacation.
Bears.
He took a vacation transition. A transition vacation. Lawrence is next on the score.
Get him out of here.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.